Welcome to the Search Storage UK FAQ podcast on the PCI DSS regulations. My name's Anthony Adfed, Bureau Chief for Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Matthew Gorsh, CEO of Vigitrust. There are two questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what are the key elements of the PCI DSS regulation? Over to you, Matthew.
Thank you, Anthony. Well, PCI DSS has been around since December 2004. It's, I suppose, a collective effort from the major card brands to harmonize their various security standards that they impose on merchants, payment service providers, and acquiring banks. So essentially, it was started by MasterCard, Visa, Amex, JCB, and Discover. And it's a set of 12 high-level requirements with in excess of 200 controls that are split into three categories. So there are some technical controls and technical settings that you need to have in place. There are a number of policies and procedures that you have in place, and also requirements for training in terms of security awareness training for employees and third parties, and specific technical skills transfer in terms of how do you actually implement some of the technical controls. So PCI is really applying to any organization that has a merchant ID and either transmits, stores, or processes information relating to the credit card holder data. Now, it's important to understand that information known as cardholder data is really more than the primary account number, which is the 16-digit number that you find on most credit cards. So some of the data elements that are included in the cardholder data includes, obviously, the PAN, the primary account number, the cardholder name, service code, the expiry date, but it also includes sensitive authentication data such as full magnetic stripe data, the CVV2, the three-digit number that you find at the back of your card, and obviously the PIN number. So the whole idea of PCI DSS is to protect that information and make sure that the right information is protected the right way. So that includes requirements for encryption, requirements for authentication, requirements for auditing, and a lot of it actually has implications on what kind of data you can store and what kind of data you cannot store.
Excellent. Thanks, Matthew. The next question is, what does PCI DSS mean for storage professionals, and how must they deal with data that falls under PCI DSS rules? Over to you again, Matthew.
Thanks, Anthony. Well, the first thing to do, as with any type of storage security strategy, is to understand what you can store and what you can't store. So the Council has actually published a number of guidance documents, including a very simple table that shows you which data elements you can store and what you need to do if you store it. Now, some of the stuff that cannot be stored at any given stage includes the full magnetic stripe data, the CVV2 number, and the PIN number. However, you may be able to store the primary account number. And if you do that, storage is permitted, but you have to follow the requirements of a specific control within PCI, which is known as Control 3.4. And Control 3.4 covers how you must render the primary account number, so that 16-digit number I spoke about earlier on, completely unreadable anywhere it may be stored. And that includes storage on servers, but it may also include storage on any type of portable digital media, any type of backup media. So you need, as a storage professional, you need to ensure that you know where that data is located on your network and that you can demonstrate that you are protecting it according to the PCI requirements. So those requirements basically suggest, or in some cases, and demand in other cases, that you either hash that information, you truncate it, or you use tokens to do that. Either way, you need to ensure that that process is fully auditable from a technical perspective, but also from an access perspective. So at the moment, the PCI Council is also trying to help organizations reduce the scope of applicability of requirement 3.4. And in order to do that, they are talking about what's known as end-to-end encryption or point-to-point encryption. And that's where you may be using tokens instead of using the primary account number, such that when a credit card transaction is initiated, a token is created, and you end up storing the token, which has absolutely no value on its own other than for that transaction. So the whole idea of tokenization, which is a very topical word in the PCI world at the moment, to make sure that you only store information that is no longer sensitive, and therefore you actually comply with requirement 3.4 in an easier way.
Thanks, Mathieu. That's the end of the podcast.